morning. Happy Sabbath. I'm losing my earpiece. Hold on. We'll see if I can make this work. So if that's the only thing that goes wrong today, that's a good day. I want to thank Kelly for inviting me to visit and share with you. It has been many years, I believe, since I've been here. I had the pleasure of attending Milo Academy. And I'm starting to remember a little bit, because this is the view I would have had when we were singing in choir and we would have come and visited here. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation to talk with you today. You know, the Lord puts things on your heart to talk about, and He doesn't stop just because you're done preparing. So I love that moment when you're sitting there listening to the music, listening to the stories, and just being reminded of how God is always at work and always speaking to you. But I got to warn you, as He's speaking to you, He presents you with opportunities that are going to allow each of us, and I'm a prime example up here, each of us to step far, far outside of our comfort zone, because He has something very specific for each of us to do. And that prayer that we will meet somebody that we can talk with this week, I love that prayer. I was talking to my wife a couple of days ago, and she was visiting with me about a music lesson. My son Elliot, he's 12 years old, and he's taking piano lessons. And Tanya was visiting with the piano teacher and heard her story. Heard her story about how she had moved into the Grants Pass area and was flipping through channels and came across Better Life and learned some truths on that were really hard for her. She believed in God, but she did not know the Sabbath truth. So she was really struggling with that, and then she had a doctor's appointment. And in this doctor's appointment, as she was waiting in the waiting room, there was a couple there. And I don't know, well, I do know. I know that God prompts us about what to say and when to say it. And this couple talked about the Sabbath. She's like, well, I'm hearing this on Better Life, and now there's this couple here talking to me, and they invited her to church. And she said the things that she needed to say and everything else, but she was still weighing this, and she ended up not going. It was just too much for her in that moment. But she continued to pray. She continued to watch Better Life. Some months later, she had another doctor's appointment. She went to the doctor. That same couple was at the doctor. So she gave up. She said, okay. And now she attends the church there in Medford, has for many years, and she was able to share that story with my wife and with my son, and that hearing those stories about how God shows up and reaches out, I don't know about you, but I have been holding on to those stories, because this last year or so, I used to be able to just say it was a year, but now it's kind of stretching out a little bit, and we are continuing to be in this strange new world, if you will. But it's not new to God. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what we need. So I just encourage you to continue to listen to Him and continue to pray for those opportunities, because it's not just going to be there for whomever you engage with. It's going to be there for you as well. Let's pray as we start. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for showing up. Thank you for always prompting us, for pushing us to discover more about you, for pushing us to step outside of our comfort zone, so that when something unexpected comes, we can go with it, because we know that you have gone before. There's nothing that we have dealt with, that we will deal with, that you have not foreseen, that you have not planned for. Nothing takes you by surprise. Help us to rest in that and to go to follow where you lead. just pray that everything we do, everything that good or bad, will lead us closer to you on our journey home with you. Amen. I love the Wedgwood Trio. That was a huge blessing. One of my wife's bridesmaids, her dad is part of the Wedgwood Trio, and I love that music. I find it kind of funny. I told you I went to Milo. I graduated in 1990. It was a few years before that the Wedgwood Trio were kind of frowned upon because that guitar stuff, oh boy, got to be careful. I love that music. I love it when people share what's on their heart. And that's what I'm here to do today. God has put a burden on my heart to talk about the things I need to hear. And I don't know about you, but with everything going on, hope, faith, love, those are the things I need to hear about, because I don't know about you. I mean, how is everybody today? Are we good? How's the world? Things are a little twisted out there. Things are going on. People are treating people in ways that do not come from Jesus. And when I say the world, I'm talking to myself as well. We are in this world, and I found myself short-tempered. I found myself irritated at the things I'm seeing. I'm seeing all these things in the world. I'm seeing, I participate very little anymore, but on Facebook, and there have been a lot of friends that I have removed or blocked out because the things coming out are not what I would consider being from God. He calls us to be different. And so those stories of hope and love and faith, I speak about them because that's what I need to hear right now. Things are topsy-turvy. There's a lot missing right now. And there's lots of things that want to fill that void that are not coming from Jesus Christ. So thank you for reading from 1 Corinthians 13. And I chose that verse, those verses, mostly because of what follows them. So today, as I begin, I'm going to be reading what comes after that. We've read about what it looks like. Let's see here. If we have knowledge, but not God. So let's skip forward. I want to start with chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 4. And I want you to, I like word pictures, so I want you to consider Jesus Christ. I want you to picture when I say these things, we're gonna do a little bit of comparison here. We're going to look at how Jesus takes these attributes and shares them with those around him. We're going to look at the disciples who had the amazing... What a gift to be able to spend years of your life with Jesus Christ in the flesh. We're going to look at perhaps how they exhibited some of these things. And this is perhaps a little more painful. We're going to look at how we do this. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. And I'm reading from the Clear Word, the Clear Word version. I love this. My parents gave this to me right while I was in college. And in the beginning of it, they wrote Psalms 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." We have such an honor, such a blessing in this country to be able to have a Bible right in front of us that we can read. Love is patient and kind. Was Jesus patient and kind? Think about these disciples. Would they have been a little bit frustrating to be around at times? Did he seem like he had to repeat things over and over and over and over and over again? Yeah, a little bit. I think about it. So I'm a parent, I have a 12-year-old, Elliot, who's taken the piano lessons. I also have a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. Love is patient and kind. It's been summer break. The home has been very busy. My older two, Wesley and Peyton, are attending Upper Columbia Academy. We had moved from Spokane back in 2018, and that was a hard, hard move for our family. I have to tell you, and here, sorry, I have my notes and then I have what I'm going to talk about. So thank you for bearing with me. It was hard because in my life at that time, God was so silent. My wife is a teacher. She teaches now at RVAA in Medford. She was teaching in Spokane, and she felt this strong, strong burden of on her heart that we needed to make a change. I did not see it. I did not hear that at all. In fact, earlier that year in 2018, we'd refinanced our home. That's a terrible time to get up and move. But she felt so strongly that God was calling her, and God works. And long story short, she accepted a call to Grants Pass. And I was angry because we were disrupting everything. We had been looking forward to our kids attending the academy there at Rogue Valley. So we were disrupting their lives, removing them from their friend groups. And all of a sudden, we're down in Grants Pass. And it was exactly what Tanya needed. But I was angry because I wasn't hearing anything. I had left my career. I'm glad it doesn't end there. I'm glad it doesn't end there. And here I'm kind of tangenting. You'll discover that I'm a person of rabbit holes, rabbit trails. Anyway, I got a phone call to, I guess I'm entering into Better Life territory a little bit here. I got a phone call from Kip Bradford, who was the director at the time, and he had a computer problem, and that's what I did. I worked in IT. And so I went in to look at the servers, and he was talking to me and shared with me that he felt impressed that God was calling him to join full-time ministry as a pastor. And as we continued to visit, as I shared with him how I was feeling this silence and that I didn't know what God wanted for me, but that God has this gift that he gives us where we can look back and see where he's guided us. It's so curvy and convoluted and kind of like outside, everything can be obscured when you look at the future. But then you look back and you can see, oh, God did that. Oh, God did that. So one thing I've learned, even when he's silent, is that if it seems like he's opening a door, I'm going to look into it and I'm going to walk through it, even if it's terrifying to me. And in that conversation we had, he told me he would like me to meet with the Better Life Board. And that turned into an interview, and that which was a very odd interview, because normally when I go in and talk to somebody about a job, I actually want the job. I did not want this job because there's comfort zones. Speaking is a terrifying thing. I was told after I accepted some of the things I would have to do that I would be on the wrong side of a camera. Terrifying. But what joy it is to be in God's will. And the things that are terrifying, you have no choice but to give it all to him and say, well, it's obviously not me because I'm terrified. These moments, I'll be real with you, these moments right before I come up, I don't feel very good. I'm a little nervous. I don't know who, even if I do know who I'm going to speak with, it can be really terrifying. But then you're in his will and he comes through. So huge rabbit hole. Long story short, COVID hit. The boys, we sent them back to Upper Columbia Academy because the distance learning was really a challenge. So my two older boys attend Upper Columbia Academy, kind of bringing things back around. They're home for the summer. Noisy, noisy, noisy home. So, patience, kindness, not always the attributes that I display when I'm visiting with my kids and they're doing something that is really, really bothering me. But Jesus gives us this example. It doesn't envy. It doesn't focus on itself or puff up with its own importance. Because why? Because it's not about us, it's about Him. What do I have to be puffed up about? Anything good that I do is from Him. It's Him working through me. Love is never rude, verse 5, or behaves unbecomingly. Did the disciples ever behave rudely or unbecomingly? Are these the characters that suggested that fire be rained down on a village? It's not interested in its own advantages. Think of some of the things that Jesus was asked to do. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. Love thinks the best. I love that translation. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It thinks the best. Love doesn't enjoy evil. This is verse 6. But finds joy in truth. What is truth? We heard that in the Bible from Pilate. Do you ever look around? Do you listen to the news? Do you wonder what is truth? Looking around at the world is a really bad idea when it comes to making decisions like that. Discernment can be hard to come by. It's easy to get caught in the trap of looking around and basing your morals, basing whatever it is on what you're seeing around you. One of my favorite things I hear, I have a lady that calls me quite often from Coos Bay, and she always ends the conversation by, "Look up, Jesus is coming soon." So if you have a question, if you're not sure what to do, if you have two choices, boy, how often do we have two choices and they seem equally bad? Look up. Look up. Seems like He always sees a different choice you can make beyond what we think and can see. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. Are you enduring things today? As we're enduring, just think about what Jesus Christ endured for us. Think about what is our goal here. What fights, what battles are we willing to fight that really don't matter? Maybe if we're looking up, it changes our focus on what is really important. And those things, those issues, those annoyances I have at home, whatever it might be, all of a sudden maybe those fade a little bit and we're able to focus on what's really important. Finally, verse 8, love will not fail. One day prophesying will end and the gift of speaking different languages will also end. Much of what we've learned will vanish. I'm going to continue. One thing, I had the pleasure of speaking with a person, I'm trying to think of his name. Oh, it'll be on the air in a couple of weeks. I had the pleasure of speaking with somebody where one of the main focuses of our conversation was context. It's very easy to grab one verse and twist it into what you need to read or what you want to pull out of it. Context. Please, 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 as we're studying His Word, look at the full context of it. And here I'm speaking to myself again. Don't be so focused on what you want to hear out of the Bible that you miss what God wants to tell you because you're pulling out something small out of something bigger. So I'm reading a little bit further. When the end comes and God gives us complete knowledge, then that which is incomplete will pass away. We know what we know. And I pray that we are always open to learning more. We are given, just like the lady I spoke with about earlier, the piano teacher, who believed God. She knew what she knew. She was exposed to a new truth. She wrestled with it, and then ultimately she accepted it because she wasn't so locked in to what her past told her. She was willing to hear something new and accept it through the grace of God. So this is this, we're talking about love, right? We're talking about the different attributes of love. And I got to ask you, looking at these, the patience, the kindness, when were you last loved by that, like that? Is that love that we find here on earth? Again, I'll give you the allegory of what we see outside. As I was driving here, it looked like I could see maybe clearly, I don't know, a few hundred yards. And then I love that drive from Grants Pass up here. The trees, the beauty. It was missing. It was obscured. And I think that's a pretty good example of our view on what love really is. We have the Bible. We have these word pictures. But until we are with Him in heaven, it's obscured. We will not completely understand what His love means and how to truly love someone else. The question I have for you, that kind of love, do we deserve it? So when was the last time you were loved like that? When was the last time you loved like that? Think about how we behave. Think of how we treat others. This gets into some dangerous territory for us, I believe. Because again, we spend a lot of time looking around us and we use what we see, our experiences, to kind of define what love looks like. I want to look over, turn with me to John 3:16. This is the clearest picture of love that I have found in the Bible. We know it well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. In this version, for God loved the world so much that He freely gave His only Son to come here, and die, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will be given eternal life. And in verse 17, God didn't send His Son to the world to condemn people, but to forgive them and to save them. So let's look at that. Let's dig into that a little bit. We have a progression here. We have love. So God is love, right? Is any contention there? Is God love? So that love prompted Him, demanded from Him. I don't believe He really had a choice, because if you are love, love is going to tell you what you have to do. So because He is love, He gave up everything. I don't think we really understand exactly what was given up with that decision. Jesus knew in advance, I believe, exactly what was going to happen when He made that choice. We can look at the cross. Oh, praise God for the cross. But to me, the most significant thing He gave up was that moment. That moment when He felt completely separated from His Father. Have you ever felt hopelessness? Complete hopelessness? That is what it's like to be separated from God. And we are separated from Him except through Jesus Christ. But Jesus Himself, the Creator, had that separation. He had no picture of what it was going to be like on the other side of the cross. In that moment, that was it. And He accepted that. It's unbelievable. And why did He do that? Why did He do that? So that if we believe, if means choice. So we have a choice. So through all of that, there was no guarantee what we would choose. Kip Bradford, he's my pastor at Gateway, he calls choice our superpower. That is the one thing we have, and boy, do we misuse it. He died simply so we would have the choice on whether or not to live. It seems so obvious to me right now as I'm speaking about it. Who on earth would choose not to live in Christ? Me. I make decisions every single day that separate me from Jesus Christ. Every day. Thank God for grace. Thank God for restoration. I want you to do something for me as we're looking at that verse. Put your name into it. This is really hard for me to do. It is much easier for me to put somebody else's name into it. I'm going to pick on Kelly. For God so loved Kelly that he freely gave his own son to come here and die, so that if Kelly believes in him, he will not perish, but will be given eternal life. That is actually easier for me, because I see Kelly on the outside. And if I knew all your names, I would put your name in there too. Am I the only one that it's really a hard thing to put your own name into that? Because we have been told, we are always told, I am always told that I'm not good enough. Why would God give that up for me? So put your name into that. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. It's an unbelievable truth that he would do that, that he would give up everything for me. And yet, when I'm faced with choices, I turn away that gift. We don't deserve it. And that right there is the point. That's what this is all about. We don't deserve it. He gave up everything so that we can choose. And we get to decide what we're going to do with that gift. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Grace. Grace is a beautiful thing. You're driving along, and somebody comes roaring past you. You're going down the freeway and somebody's just speeding. Maybe they swerved a little bit into you. How are you feeling toward that person? A couple miles up the road, you see some lights and you see that person. He's pulled over. What do you feel? Really, tell me. What do you feel?
Karma.
Karma. Because he deserves it, right? Oh, I get caught in that all the time. I'm going to be real with you. Maybe I won't give you that example. That's probably too real. But things happen to people, and we just feel like they deserve it. You know, somebody's flaunting whatever, and they get sick, or they get pulled over, or whatever, and we just feel like, wow, they deserve it. That is a painful thing when I start to reflect on it, because that's what grace is. That feeling I get, I believe, is exactly why it's hard for me to put my name in John 3:16, because I don't deserve that gift. I deserve everything that's going to happen to me. So how on earth, if I think the speeder deserves being pulled over, and I think he does, it's a safety thing, well, and it kind of serves him right. Right? But that viewpoint that we've been grown up with, I believe, is exactly why it's hard for us to accept that grace when we deserve it. Do you understand how much you are loved? I don't get it. I don't understand the why of it. And I'm not sure. I am so thankful that we get to spend all of eternity understanding it And we may never get it, because we are not love, but we are loved. So what do we do with that? We share it. How do we share it? God gives us choices every single day. Hopefully you're getting up praising God for what he's given to you and searching for those opportunities he is going to give you to share that with somebody else. I'm human. That's not always the reality for me. I get up and I'm tired. I see an opportunity, I may not take it because I'm tired, because I'm too focused on something else. I don't know what it is, but God is the God of second chances and second plans. I am so thankful again that he always has a plan B or a C or a D. So if Charlie doesn't notice what Charlie was called to do, that maybe you're the plan B and you're going to be used to reach that person. He's also the God of plan Bs, in that he doesn't give up on me. He doesn't give up on you. I see one path in front of me, and I see these choices, and God has a plan for each of us, right? He has a plan for each of us. Do we always follow that plan? I don't. I wish I did. I'm that kid that liked to touch the stove. Nobody was at Milo that I can see here while I was there. There's some stories to be had there. I don't always do the plan A, but praise God, he takes me where I am and he says, okay, that was kind of stupid, but okay, we're going to make a new plan. Here's where you are now. This is the path now. And then the next choice I make that isn't so great. Oh, here's where you are now, Charlie. I don't know why you didn't learn the lesson the last time, but here we go. Here's the new plan. And that new plan always guides me back toward him. We get to choose. We get to choose. I've been enjoying, our family's been enjoying a mini-series called The Chosen. Has anybody heard of The Chosen? I love it. I love it. If you have the ability to watch it, it's online, it's free. You'll get a lot of advertising. In my opinion, it's worth your time. I love the pictures it paints of the disciples. And the one that really resonates with me is Matthew. Matthew, he's kind of... So my wife, early childhood education, she has dealt with a lot of special ed people, people that are on the spectrum. Now she's in regular ed, but for about 12 years, I think, before we moved to Spokane, she taught in the public school system, 3 to 5 year olds. I could never do it. Praise God for those who have that level of patience. We need them. So Matthew, I would say, is on the spectrum. He's got some of those little quirks and everything else. And there's an episode where it shows his insecurity. He's looking around and he's saying, I know why he is here. I know he is here. Why am I here? Why did Jesus choose me? It makes absolutely no sense. I think the only one he wasn't sure why was there was Peter, because Peter's not really nice to him. And Philip, I love the character of Philip. Philip simply says to him, and I'm paraphrasing, but Philip says to Matthew, he called you. He called you. So you have everything you need right now. And when you need more, he will give it to you. Everyone around you is loved just as much as you are. That's another hard truth for me, because there are some people out there that just drive me batty with the choices they're making, the influences they have, and the just things. We talked about it earlier. I talked about it earlier. The world's a little bit messed up. Up is down, left and right. Everything is just crazy. But everybody is loved, and everybody is a child of God. How dare I say that anyone does not deserve to be loved. God loves them. God loves me despite all of my crazy choices. So my prayer today, what I'm asking you to do today, is to ask Him, ask God to lead you. Figure out who He has lined up for you to engage with today. And then reflect on love. When I'm dealing with one of those teenage issues that just drive me nuts, do what I don't always do. Step back and reflect. What would God do? What would Jesus do? Somebody made an acronym out of that some years ago. What would Jesus do? Reflect on what He does for you. But take that break. I know I need to. I have to take that break. I have to take that pause, whatever it is, to collect myself, because the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth if I don't, you ever tried to stuff toothpaste back into a tube? You can't take it back. So please do what I don't do nearly enough of. Just don't talk. Step back. Reflect. What would God do? How would He use me in this moment? Step out of the way if you can. And if you can't, thank God for grace and second chances. God's going to ask you, and I'm sure He already is asking you to do things that are scary. I am constantly being asked to do things that are scary for me. I remember, I'll try to be brief here. I know it's really warm in here. I remember the first time I spoke. I had gone to India with my parents. It was a big evangelistic series. It was a 10-village where they sent out lorries to all the villages, brought everybody together. So we had one big meeting, thousands of people. I went to run a computer and run the PowerPoint, and I'll tell the children's story here and there because I loved helping out in primary at camp meeting. I'll do that. But that was really the extent of my comfort zone. Thursday night, my mother had been doing the mission stories. I don't know if you know my parents, Virginia, Ron and Virginia Oliver. If you haven't met them, I hope you will. I love them. Mom wasn't feeling well on Thursday, and she asked me to do the children's story. Not the children's story, I'm sorry, the health talk. Well, you know, I'd been to some of the meetings. I was feeling pretty good about everything. So, okay, I can do it. I'd watched my dad, who also, he's an accountant by trade, but he did what he felt Jesus called him to do. And so he was the main speaker at this series, completely out of his comfort zone. And I watched how he was doing it. It's if you have the opportunity to go on an evangelistic trip or a mission trip or something, it's a great way to get involved. What was good about it for me was that you have a translator. So you would say something, then there's a translator, and then you say something. So I would have these moments in between to collect my thoughts. So I'm like, I don't really want to, but I can do that. I can do the health talk. And then I saw what the health talk was. It was terrifying. It was about STDs. So I was going to be very graphically, I mean, these are health messages and these are challenges that they're dealing with. I had to talk about these things that I don't talk about to thousands of people that went from little kids up to grandma and grandpa, and I'm looking at them sharing this. It was terrible. But I did it. And when I got home from that trip, I went to my pastor and said, I have to tell you what happened in India. And I even put on what basically looked like a dress, and I went up in the Puyallup church and I shared the story of what had happened in India while I was there. Because God put something on your heart and you have no choice but to speak it. And that set the tone for my life, that I am willing to do the things that God calls me to do, because being in His will is a beautiful thing, even when it's uncomfortable, even when your stomach is a little bit upset because you are the one that has to get up and speak in a few minutes, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. Do you have time for a story? My friend Dick Dirksen, I don't know, do you guys know who Dick is? Dick is a member of our board, and he is an absolute blessing to me. Before COVID hit, we had camp meeting at Milo, and he was our speaker there, and I just was entranced. I was feeling really lousy. I got pretty sick that week, but I was entranced by his stories. And for worship, we have been reading from his book, Storycatcher. Dick is a storyteller. He loves hearing people's stories. And he has picked out a few here. And I just wanted to read this to you because it's an introduction to one of his stories. God shows up. And we feel inadequate. We feel like we're absolutely the wrong person in that time. And this is just one of those beautiful stories to me, and I hope it will speak to you. This is from Dick Dirksen, and I'm going to read it because if I paraphrase, I'll miss it. Hey, Pastor D, did I ever tell you about the time? Those words caused me to automatically reach for my cell phone and click the voice memos function. The recorder must be on. Something good is coming. My phone holds hundreds of recordings, all nicely backed up to the cloud, a place I'm sure will outlast even the strongest nuclear attack. Some of the stories are really boring and should probably be erased. Some are interesting in a ho-hum kind of way, and some are like jewels set in a queen's crown. But first you have to listen. One day, a hospital chaplain rushed into my office, shut the door, and said, "You're not going to believe what just happened to me on Church Street." "Try me," I smiled. See, Dick has heard a lot of stories. This guy, I didn't recognize him at all, called me by name, ran across the street, and nearly shook my hand off with excitement. Seems I had been in a patient's room with him as Grandma was dying. And he wanted to tell me thanks for something I hadn't even done. You need to hear her story. Ruby, the chaplain, was on duty in the oncology wing, a place filled with patients who have cancer. One woman, an Italian mother of many, was finally giving in to the disease, and the nurses had called for Chaplain Ruby to come speak with the family. Ruby came, slipping quietly into the room and immediately realizing this was something bigger than she could handle. You ever been in a situation that's bigger than you can handle? There were 13 people squeezed into the room that could hold no more than 8. There were people sitting on the bed, leaning on the expensive instruments, slouching in the chairs, all highlighted by 2 sisters shouting at each other across Grandma's barely breathing form. I chose this in part because this, to me, is a pretty good example of what I've been hearing the last couple of years. The room smelled like hate. "You didn't come to my house for Christmas 3 years in a row, and now you're upset because I missed your birthday? I didn't come because I can't stand your filthy house and your terrible cooking." Ruby listened, horrified, knowing there was nothing she could do to quiet everyone down and get them to let Grandma die quietly. She leaned back against one empty space left in the room. "God," she said, "I need your help right now, please." Have you ever prayed that prayer? That's when the door opened, and the volunteer responsible for delivering cookies to all the hospital rooms waltzed in. The cookie lady was deep into her 70s, mostly deaf, and focused on emptying her tray of cookies without spilling them. Does anybody here want a cookie? The cookie later asked, rather like a Marine drill sergeant commanding the next maneuver. The room went deathly silent. Ruby closed her eyes and said, God, please not here, not now. Send her away. I said, does anybody here want a cookie? This time the request was even more strident. Ruby cringed and inched her way toward the intruding volunteer. Mark beat her there. Mark, about 13, had been listening to the war of words over Grandma's bed, but now was entranced by the cookies. He slipped through the scramble of legs and arms, found the cookie lady's tray, and selected a crisp macadamia nut and chocolate cookie. Back through the twister of bodies, he went till he was at Grandma's side. That's when it happened. Grandma, Mark asked reverently, want a cookie for the road? Ruby winced in horror. I could not imagine anything more terrible happening at Grandma's bedside, she told me. It was like all the air was sucked out of the room. And then suddenly, it all came back. Oh, God is so good. But this time, the anger, the jealousy, the pain had been replaced by love, kindness, and good memories. Sisters were embracing, brothers were giving each other high fives, and everyone was either cheering Mark or laughing like lifelong lost buddies. It was wonderful. It was as if God had just slipped into the room. Back to the guy finding Chaplain Ruby on Church Street. It was the coolest thing, the man told Ruby. We have no idea how you pulled it off. But bringing in the cookie later, that was just plain awesome. You know, we're a rather emotional family, and sometimes we get into big battles. But now, whenever things begin to get testy, someone will say, hey, you want a cookie for the road? And we all break into laughter. Chaplain Ruby, you're the best thing that's ever happened to our family. Thank you. Ruby and I laughed and prayed together over the crazy ways God finds to interject love into a world packed tight with hate. One other thing, Ruby said as she stood to leave. Grandma's eyes clicked open when everyone laughed. She smiled a bit and then went to sleep. Just think, the last thing she knew was her family being happy together. He shows up, and we have the opportunity to allow him to shine through us, to talk through us. And I'm so grateful that whether it's me at Better Life or you in your walks of life, everywhere we are, we have that opportunity to allow him to shine through us. Because I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because you are me. We don't have the ability to do it on our own. We don't have that kind of love. But we do have that choice. We have that choice that allows him to shine through us in how we engage with others. And I pray that we are making that choice every day. I'm so thankful that you are here, that you're here in Canyonville, by Milo and in our community, that you are here in this community going out there and letting him shine through you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so good. You don't need us, but you want us. You don't need me to accomplish what you know needs to be done, but you use me anyway, as broken as I am. And I'm so thankful that you didn't just loose us on the world. You gave us your example. You gave us the Bible. You gave us your word that isn't filled with all these perfect people doing perfect things. It's filled with broken people just like me who have chosen you and are used to your glory. So Lord, as we walk this world for a little bit longer. I pray to God, I pray to you that it's not much longer, but you know how long it needs to be. And I'm just so thankful that you are including us in your work. Help it to bring us closer to you so that you and your glory are reflected through how we engage with those around us.